Good morning, everybody. So when I was a kid, I always loved school. I loved elementary school, middle school, high school. I loved all of it. I grew up in a pretty small town on the east side of Cleveland, and it was an area where everybody knew each other, and in my school, everybody knew each other in the community, and it was just a great place to grow up. And I loved everything about school. I loved my teachers. I loved my friends. I loved learning. I loved everything about school except for recess. I know, because usually that's everybody's favorite part of the day, right? Lunch and recess. I hated recess. I'm going to tell you why. I had a couple things that were not really going for me in elementary school. The first thing, I was a head taller at least than everybody else. I was always the tallest kid. First grade, second grade, third grade. It kind of evened out after that, but the first few years of elementary school, I was just super tall. And so to kind of compensate for that and to get a little closer to everybody else's size, I was pretty slouchy. I had bad posture. The second thing that was not going for me was that I was a terrible athlete. And I'm still a terrible athlete. The only thing I can do moderately well is ride my bike. But aside from that, I have no natural athletic skill whatsoever. So in my school, at least in first grade, second grade, third grade, when it was time for recess, everybody would sort of like clump together in a big group and travel out to the field behind the school and play an organized game of kickball. Well, you know how that goes when you're in elementary school, right? The coolest kids, who are usually the best athletes, they are the team captains. And so the two team captains, the two coolest kids, would pick the teams one by one until everybody's picked. And you go play kickball. Well, every day in the third grade, I was picked, can you guess? Dead last. Every day, dead last. So when we would go out to recess, I would kind of take my place in the back behind all the other kids, slouching over, and I'm just waiting to be called last. And then I go line up at the end of the line with the rest of my team and my captain. And that was my routine. That was my normal. Now, when you're 8 years old, that's kind of a big deal, right? It's something, it was a source of insecurity for me, for sure. I kind of felt like an outlier, at least at recess. And you know, the only thing that kept me putting myself in that position every day was, the only thing worse than that would have been if I was the one kid on the swings by myself. So I just endured the last picks every day. Except one day, something unexpected happened. Took my place in the back, I'm slouching. And cool kid kickball captain had first picks. I'm not gonna say his name in case he stumbles across this on Facebook or something, but I'm gonna call him cool kid kickball captain. And he said, Kim. He had first picks and he said my name. Now, I'm in the back of the pack and I actually wasn't really paying a ton of attention because I was just expecting to be last anyway, so. I was slouching in the back, and I think I heard my name. So I looked up, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. And he kind of gives me a nod, and I'm thinking, did he just say my name? Did he really just say my name? He said it again. I picked Kim. And it was like the classic Bad News Bears moment. The entire third grade turned around and looked right at me. And it was like Moses parting the Red Sea. They split right down the middle. So that I could walk through and take my place next to cool kid kickball captain. And I'll tell you what, I stood up straight and I walked over to him and I stood next to him. And he kind of looked at me and he said, you run fast. And I said, I do? I didn't know I ran fast. I run fast. And I know that I'm sure I did something embarrassing after that. Like as other kids' names were called, I'm pretty sure I did something like, pick me first, run fast. And I really couldn't tell you how I played that day. I don't know if I scored any runs. My usual plan of attack was I'd just go out to the outfield and as far back as I could go and hope that nobody would kick the ball that far. And I'm pretty sure that's probably what I still did. I don't know if I had a kickball career after that, I can't remember. But what I do remember is that moment when Cool Kid said my name and picked me first, I didn't feel like an outlier anymore. I felt more important. I felt like I mattered. It gave me some self-respect. You know, and as we get older, our sort of elementary school kickball insecurities, they fade to bigger things, right? But all of us have a basic human need to feel accepted, to feel like part of the group, to feel like we matter. And right now, we're in the middle of a sermon series that Pastor Chip started last week called Jesus Equals Change. And Pastor Chip talked about the immoral woman and how Jesus offered her forgiveness, and it completely changed her life. And it's the same offer for us. And today, we're going to talk about how much we matter to Jesus. And we're going to talk about a kind of a familiar Bible person, a Bible character. Is anybody familiar with Zacchaeus? When I say that name, does a song go through your head? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Remember that from your childhood? It's going to be in your head for the rest of the service. So this is a Bible passage about Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus had the opposite problem that I did. I was the tallest girl, and he was the shortest guy. And I'm going to kind of set the stage for this passage. We're going to read chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And just to sort of set the stage, this takes place in Jericho. And Jericho is a big city, a busy city in Israel. And Israel and much of the Mediterranean was under Roman rule. So Rome were the invaders. They were not the good guys. They were considered the invaders. They were not a welcome presence. And Jesus is going to be passing through Jericho. And Zacchaeus, in the story, is a tax collector. And that's where we're going to start. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, if you want to follow along. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." There's a lot going on in those 10 verses. Let's start with Zacchaeus. The Bible says he was short. And actually, the Greek word in this passage is uncommonly short or underdeveloped. So if you can kind of picture, Zacchaeus was probably, maybe we could even say like child size. And I imagine this was a source of insecurity for him. He was probably teased about this through his life. Maybe he was called names. So I'm sure just that alone would be enough to make a person insecure. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. Now, throughout history to now, generally, we're not overly, like, tax collectors aren't our favorite people, right? You don't invite the IRS over for dinner and say, "Hey, while you're here, let's go ahead and do an audit." We don't do that. It's just a career path that most people kind of are like, you stay away. So he's a tax collector. Not only that, he's a chief tax collector. Now, in order to be a tax collector in Israel, because it's under Roman authority, under Roman rule, Zacchaeus was Jewish. He would have had to bribe a Roman official to get that position. So right off the bat, he's doing some criminal activity. So he's bribed a Roman official. He's gotten that position. I would have to think his bribe was pretty big because he's actually the chief tax collector, which means there are other tax collectors underneath him that he oversees. And the tax system was so corrupt that what the tax collectors would do, they would come to your home and we'll just say, well, an arbitrary number, maybe Rome required 5%. So the tax collector would come to your door and say, you need to give me 10% or 12%, as much as they wanted to ask for. And if they're at your door, you can't say no because they can throw you in jail. So Zacchaeus is asking people significantly higher than what Rome is requiring, and he gets to keep the rest for himself. He gives that 5% to Rome, he gets to keep the rest. So Zacchaeus is filthy rich. He's got piles of money, right? But it's ill-gotten. He's stolen it from his own countrymen. So if I had to guess, Zacchaeus has no friends. He's not going to have friends. He's betraying his own countrymen. And if I also had to guess, I'm certain his family probably disowned him. Because no self-respecting Jewish man is going to sell out to Rome and be a corrupt tax collector. So what Zacchaeus does have is piles of money. But what he doesn't have is anyone to share it with. No friends, no family. If ever there was an outlier, it had to be Zacchaeus. And I imagine all of this made him incredibly insecure. Now, on one unexpected day, Jesus is coming through town. Now, this is near the end of Jesus' ministry. In fact, later on in the chapter that we were reading is what we traditionally call Palm Sunday. So this is getting on towards the end of Jesus' ministry. So people know who Jesus is. They follow him. He has crowds that follow him wherever he goes. His name is a household name. So Jesus is passing through Jericho. Zacchaeus wants to get a look at him, but he's too short. He can't see above the crowds. So he does what he can think of to do. He runs ahead of everybody and climbs a sycamore fig tree. Now, if you or I did that, it might not seem so outrageous if just a normal person, but have you ever noticed when somebody gets under your skin that every little thing they do is annoying, right? Even if it's just a normal thing. So I'm sure that the people were just like, oh my gosh, this guy's such a loser. What's he doing in the tree? Well, I also, interesting thing about sycamore fig trees. These are trees that grow in warm climates. They wouldn't do well in Ohio. They can't grow in places that have cold weather. So these trees are planted along the roads to provide shade. And they have these wide, flat branches, just full of foliage and full of these big clumps of fruit, big clusters of fruit. And they bloom multiple times. They produce fruit multiple times a year. So I imagine they're very lush and full. So Zacchaeus found himself a good vantage point up high so he can see Jesus coming through. But I also wonder if maybe a little bit of him was trying to hide. He wants to see what Jesus is doing. He's heard of Jesus. He wants to see what he's going to do. But maybe he wants to see what he's going to do without actually being seen himself. It doesn't say that, but I'm just wondering if there was a little bit of that, because Zacchaeus had reason to hide, didn't he? He was corrupt. Well, something very unexpected happens. Jesus stops at the tree. He sees him, and he says, Zacchaeus. He calls him by name. I have to wonder, how many times in Zacchaeus' life did he actually hear his name? I imagine he was called short names like Shorty, Pipsqueak, whatever, but also probably every name in the book because he's despised, right? So I doubt that very many people call him by his name. And he hears his name, and I wonder if there was just this moment of, did he just say my name? Did the cool kid kickball captain just say my name? And you know, Jesus knew the importance of a name. We sang about it this morning. You called my name and I ran out of the grave. He knew the importance of a name. In fact, in John chapter 10, this is a passage that talks about Jesus being the good shepherd of the sheep, and we're the sheep. And this is what it says. This is John chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. That's Jesus. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name. Jesus knew the importance of a name. And interestingly and ironically, the name Zacchaeus means pure one. How about that? It doesn't fit, does it? Pure one. I think what Jesus was doing here was affirming Zacchaeus' potential, saying, look, God made you to be a pure one. I see that. I see who you are. I see what you're capable of becoming. Pure one, come down from the tree. What do you think Zacchaeus was thinking at this moment? I don't know about you, but I have a feeling he slid down that tree so fast, he probably got splinters in his bottom. You know, in verse 6 in chapter 19, it says he takes Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. Jesus says, I'm coming to your house today, Zacchaeus. I'm coming to your house. He's not going to wait for an invitation from Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus isn't even expecting to talk to Jesus. He's not expecting to have this encounter. He's just hoping to sit in the tree and watch what's happening. So Jesus takes the lead on this one, and he says, I'm coming to your house today. Now, this is the last thing any of these people would have expected, especially Zacchaeus, right? He's a guy that lives with guilt and shame. And here Jesus is saying, I'm coming to your house today. And with the how fast he must have came down from that tree, and it says he's taking Jesus to his house with excitement and with joy, I'm confident that Jesus didn't say, come down from the tree, you big sinner, you're a big disaster, let's go talk about all your sin. No, Jesus didn't say that. He said, come down from the tree, I'm coming over, we're gonna hang out, we're gonna have a party. How must Zacchaeus have felt? When was the last time somebody came to his house just to hang out? When was the last time somebody said his name? When was the last time somebody wanted to spend time with him? The crowd was mad, though. They don't like this. What's he doing? He's a notorious sinner. Why is Jesus going to his house? Of all the people here, the crowd is grumbling. They don't like this at all. But you know what Jesus said? He said, I'm the kickball captain today, and I pick Zacchaeus. Jesus knows Zacchaeus is about to have a complete transformation, a radical conversion. And you know what? His change is immediate, because all the while that the crowds are grumbling and complaining, take a look at verse 8. I love the word meanwhile. It starts with meanwhile. Meanwhile, whenever you see that word, it tells you there's something else going on that's pretty cool. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. There's a lot in this verse. First of all, it was quick, wasn't it? I think Zacchaeus was just waiting. I think he was just waiting for somebody to love him, to care about him. Here's a guy who's been unlovable, unseen, an outlier. And just in one moment, Jesus shows up and throws it all on its head. Pastor Chip likes to call Jesus the beautiful disruptor. He comes on the scene and he shakes up the routine, doesn't he? Shakes up the norm. I think Zacchaeus was just waiting for a change because he was so quick. Did you notice he doesn't argue? He doesn't say, you know what, I like my money, so I think I'm just going to keep it. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but I'm going to keep this money because I like it. No, he doesn't say that. He's going to give it back. In fact, he's going to give it back four times as much as he took. And he says, I'm going to give half of it away to the poor. That's way more than a tithe, isn't it? He's giving half of it away because he's had an encounter with Jesus, and it changed him. And right in the middle of that verse, he calls Jesus Lord. I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. Zacchaeus gets it. He recognizes the authority of Jesus, and he's made him Lord of his life right there in that moment. And all it took was an encounter with Jesus' unconditional acceptance and grace and love. It didn't take a hashing out of anyone's sin. Jesus didn't do that. He just wanted to hang out with Zacchaeus, and that's all it took, and it was that fast. And Jesus, as he always does, he addresses the crowd. And here's what he says. Remember, these are grumbling people. And he says, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Salvation has come to this home today. Zacchaeus' life has been turned around. He's been saved by Jesus. He calls him a true son of Abraham. And that means two things, by lineage, but by faith. Abraham was the father of faith. And so he's saying, Zacchaeus has found faith. He's on our team. He's one of us. He's found faith. I like the last part, the last verse. It ends with this, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. He is constantly, Jesus is constantly working, moving, looking for people to be on his team. He's constantly at work to call people to him. He is seeking us out. That's exactly why he came. Zacchaeus is exactly who he came for. Kim Richardson is exactly who he came for. Savon is exactly who he came for. Lori Ray is exactly who he came for. Everybody in this room is exactly who he came for. He's been seeking us out. Not to go over our sin. No, he doesn't care about that. He wants to have a relationship with us, a friendship. He wants to walk it out with us. Have you ever felt like Zacchaeus? I know that I did in elementary school, and I know that I have plenty of times since then, and not short. I don't mean short, and I don't mean maybe not corrupt, but an outlier. Have you ever felt like Zacchaeus, like an outlier, like maybe wondering if you matter, maybe wondering if you're seen, maybe wondering if Jesus knows your name? Maybe you've heard too many things from the world that have kind of left you wondering. So maybe you're sitting in the tree and you're hoping, maybe you're just hoping that you can see what Jesus is doing, but maybe not sure if he can actually see you. Well, here's what Jesus says to you today. You are not your sin. You are not your past. You are not your decisions. You are not the things that you have done. You are not the things that have been done to you that you had no control over. You are not those things. What you are is a masterpiece created by the hand of God for such a time as this. You're a child of God. That's what he says. He says, I'm the team captain every day, and I pick you for my team every day. Yeah. we're going to kind of bring this home. I don't know what happened to Zacchaeus after this chapter in the Bible. We don't know. It doesn't say. If I had to guess, he started going to the homes of the people that he was going to pay back. Knocked on the door and hands him back four times as much as he took. And I'm sure at first he was met with, like shock and disbelief. And then I think that probably turned to smiles. And hey, thanks. And I bet you they started calling him by his name, Zacchaeus. And I bet when they saw him in the street, they started to wave and say, hi, Zacchaeus. And I bet he might have gotten some dinner invitations. Probably not asked to play on the basketball team, but probably invited to dinner. Zacchaeus' life was radically transformed. Why? Because he had an encounter with Jesus. And when we have an encounter with Jesus, it changes us. Jesus comes in and he accepts us right where we're at. All of our flaws, he accepts us right where we're at, but he loves us enough to help us become the best version of ourselves. He does that. And when we have that encounter with Jesus, when we can understand that he loves us with an unconditional love, and that doesn't go away, and he loves us with an unconditional grace, and that doesn't go away, and he knows our names, when we can understand that truth, that he sees us, he knows us, he loves us, he forgives us day after day, we cannot exhaust his love. We cannot exhaust his grace. It's limitless. It's for us every day. And when we can get a hold of that truth, it changes us, doesn't it? It makes us act different. It makes us care about our fellow man more. It makes us compassionate. It makes us generous. It makes us give $55,000 to people in Haiti and Vietnam and Brazil that we're probably never going to meet. It makes us do things that we don't even know why we're doing sometimes, but that's what the love of Jesus does. It makes us new people. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, anyone that belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. That's what Jesus does. He gets rid of all that stuff. He doesn't care about the sin. He doesn't care about the past. We get a new start. A new life has begun. He did not come here to call us out of the tree to tell us about all our sin. No, in fact, quite the opposite of that. You know, John 3:16 gets all the attention, but John 3:17 is just as good. And it says this, John 3:17, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. He didn't come to judge. He didn't come to call us down from the tree so he could go over all of our sin. He's calling us out of the tree so that we can walk this out with him. Now, he didn't promise that it was going to be easy, but what he did promise is that he's going to walk it out with us day after day. We get a do-over. And when we accept that truth, when we can receive that truth, it changes us. It makes us the best version of ourselves. So, in closing, Jesus knows your name. He knows the name of every person in this room. He knows the name of every person that's going to watch this later on social media. He knows your name. He sees you. He loves you, he forgives you, and you know what? He's always known your name, he's always seen you, he's always loved you, and he's always forgiven you. He says, there's never a time that I haven't loved you, and there's never a time that I haven't been with you. And that same offer that was for Zacchaeus is for each of us over and over again. So, this might be your day. I can't think of a better day than today to come down from the tree. Jesus is calling your name. He's been waiting for you. Come down from the tree and walk this out with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you know our names. Thank you so much that you see us. Thank you so much that you love us unconditionally, that the offer for Zacchaeus is there for all of us. God, we just thank you that you're always at work chasing us down, and you never give up on us, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.